Little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Yes, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May we know that together. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Mama, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
She was a singer, actress, guitarist, lyricist, civil rights activist, human rights activist, and a wonderful person to know. Odetta with This Little Light of Mine. This is from her Grammy-nominated album, Gonna Let It Shine. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lee, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. All right. We always look forward to Free Your Mind Friday, and this will be no exception, even as the Derek Chauvin case in Minneapolis closes out for the week, only to begin on Monday. But this is your time, and I just want to explain, in case you joined us for the first time, first, welcome aboard. Glad to have you, and hope you'll stay a while. Free Your Mind Friday is for listeners to use the time to express themselves about an issue about which they have very strong views. Don't be afraid. I mean, that doesn't mean, but when I say strong, I mean it's laced with cuss words. We don't do that. But the fact is that we need to hear, or this is the space that is being dedicated to you. And you should learn how to use it well, learn how to use the medium well in expressing a point of view. And as you express your point of view, you want to make sure you cover certain things. You want to give us the thesis of your dissertation on the air. You want to tell us what it is you're going to be talking about, why you're talking about it, what your points are. Just in case somebody coming behind you would want to disagree. And disagreement is good. We like disagreements in that we also learn, or we have the opportunity to learn, a different side, a different aspect of an issue. Of course, we don't believe in chopping people to little pieces on the air and humiliating them and whatnot. We don't believe in that. We are a kind, gentle group. Forceful, though. When you believe in something, you ought to let us know. This is not just a passing fancy. This is something you absolutely believe in. So there you go. Those are the ground rules. have something important to say, and say it, and say it well. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to get the ball rolling here. 888-874-4888. Please be as concise as you can and get your point. Get to your point early and stick to it and make it. Make it clear where you stand. Harvey from Berkeley, you're on the air and you start us off. How you doing, Harvey?
Hello, wonderful Eutrice. Well, as always, may happiness and good health surround both you and your vast listening audience.
Thank you.
And today, I've got some important information about redirecting our nation's freshwater resources so as to help avoid a widespread catastrophe, especially in the western part of the United States. According to the United States Geological Survey, the U.S. consumes approximately 322 billion gallons of water, that's with a B, billion gallons of water every single day. The lion's share of 133 billion gallons of water goes to the generation of electricity using fossil fuels like coal, oil, and methane, where the water is boiled to make steam, which is then used to run turbines in power plants that generate the electricity. Next in line is 118 billion gallons of water a day, which is used to irrigate our nation's crops. And the last category is 39 billion gallons of water a day that go for personal consumption like drinking, cooking, bathing, and sanitation. Unfortunately, the electricity that's being generated by the burning of fossil fuels is overheating our planet at an unsustainable rate, which is causing climate destabilization, including severe droughts, especially in western United States. Additionally, the fracking for methane use toxic chemicals, which are poisoning our pristine water, freshwater aquifers. One answer to this devastating dilemma of water shortages is to switch away from water-consuming fossil fuels towards sustainable energy wherever possible. For example, once manufactured and installed, solar panels use no water except for an occasional cleaning over their estimated 20 to 25-year warranted lifetime. So if the Biden administration wants to get a handle on America's freshwater crisis, they can start by covering the rooftops of appropriate government-owned and leased buildings with large solar panel arrays, which will both help to power our nation while helping to preserve our nation's precious freshwater resources. And I say it's time to get star-powered. Let's get solar. Thank you, Tree.
All right. Thank you. Thanks so much, Harvey, for your call and your contribution today. Duke from New Jersey, what have you to say?
Hey, Eutrice, how you doing?
Okay.
And Harvey, we love you, Harvey. He always drops some knowledge. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of my biggest issues that I have with myself is my water consumption. And I know it's a problem. I only consume bottled water. So you know how much money that is a year? It's a problem. Anyway, that's not why I call you, Trees. Yesterday, the show ended with, and you were having some technical problems on the line, but
yes,
the last caller was an elder, and he identified yeah. himself as a Jewish gentleman who was a child in the camps during the Holocaust. And I had never heard his voice wasn't familiar, so I don't know if he called him before. Right
no.
before him, it was Elder David. And I just want to add something to the younger people who are listening in the community, or everybody. David always reminds us and teaches us that there's a bigger force at play in all of these issues that we deal with. In other words, there's somebody who's controlling all of this worldwide, somebody's holding the power and pulling the strings. And the elder who called yesterday at the end of the show, he kind of alluded to this same idea. He was saying that they just want to have control. He used the pronoun they. And we often use these pronouns, they, them. Who are these people who are controlling things? Who are pulling the strings? So a few years back, Gary Noel had interviewed this constitutional attorney named Danny Sheehan. And in this interview, I'm sure it's up on YouTube somewhere. I think it was titled Masters of the Universe or something like that. If you search it, Gary Noel and Danny Sheehan, I'm sure it'll pop up. But in this interview, Danny Sheehan broke down by name who these people are. And I mean, he went so far down the rabbit hole, Utrice. He was talking, he was naming people that I had never, ever heard before. Forget about the Dulles brothers that, you know, in the American construct we think of as power brokers. He went way beyond that. So I'm just throwing that out there for people. You may want to look up Danny Sheehan and check out his videos, because he goes so into detail on specifically who the families are, who the individuals are who actually control everything. And I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thank you. I have a natural reaction to things like that when people start naming names as to who controls the world. I don't know how. I mean, they could make a case, a theoretical case, but I don't know that they can prove the actuality about which they are speaking. And
Utrice,
I always hold my, you know, in reserve. I always
Utrice,
listen.
Am I still on the line?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Yeah. Utrice, I'm exactly like you. I'm always skeptical about that. But again, especially this interview that he did with Gary, remember now, he's a constitutional lawyer. And he...
So what constitutional lawyers
yeah, that
don't
doesn't
know
mean
anything.
I agree. But
okay.
He breaks down with evidence so thoroughly. Well, anyway, everybody has to make up their own opinion. But I think I'm the ultimate skeptic, and he certainly enlightened me in a way that was very, very believable. But
okay.
I'll leave it at that. You have a good weekend, all right?
Thank you so much for contributing today.
Now?
Lee from New York, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. You're on the air, Lee.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling because I have a concern that's been nagging at me for quite a while, and I haven't heard anything in this regard, and that is Alton Maddox's license. Because I know lawyers that have gone to jail and come out of jail, got their license restored, et cetera, et cetera, and Alton's is still lacking. If there's anybody in the audience that can tell me what might be done in order to have his license restored, I'd be most appreciative.
Okay. Well, I happen to know that Alton is dealing with a couple of health challenges, but I think he should be done with that fairly soon. But I don't know for sure. This is just what I'm told. But the best person to give guidance on that is, guess who? Alton Maddox. So let's hope he, you know, recuperates and he's in good shape to tell us what he sees as his future and how best to accomplish the task, as you laid out, of assisting and making it work. Thank you so much, Lee. Thank you for thinking of him, too. Thank you. Leslie from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hello, I hope everybody is doing well in the PRN audience.
Thank you.
A few months ago, I called in and talked about how ultraviolet light can be used safely in public places. Dr. David Brenner of Columbia University has done experiments on this far ultraviolet light, far UVC, that can be used in stadiums, trains, offices, schools, etc. Then we wouldn't have to worry about the virus infecting everyone. So this has been known for many years about this special light, and they're actually using a medicinal ultraviolet light in New York City subways, but people cannot be around. So the different types of ultraviolet light, and the one they're using in the subways, kills viruses and other germs so people can ride safely. But the other far UVC light would be ideal so we can get out of this mess worldwide. However, in the meantime, Governor Cuomo in New York State has introduced the Excelsior Pass, which began with a pilot program launched on February 27th for Brooklyn Nets game at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. It utilizes a QR code that confirms a negative coronavirus test or someone has been fully vaccinated. At public places in New York, they now require all spectators and employees to be fully vaccinated before they can enter. In addition, the Excelsior Pass was launched on Friday, March 26th, to all New Yorkers. And it can now be used to gain access to wedding receptions and other events in excess of social gathering limits.
But what also is your opinion about the subject? This is called Free Your Mind Friday. So do you have an opinion about it?
Yes, my opinion is that all this is unnecessary, and it's a hoax because they're not using the far UVC light in public places. Instead, they want us to have a vaccine passport so we can get around and get back to life as normal. When lots of employers are demanding this pass because they don't want their employees to come back unless they're fully vaccinated or they've been proven negative. So that's only the first step. It's going to get worse when they have these vaccine passes. And they already have it in Israel. And people are complaining it's like wearing the yellow star when they were in Nazi Germany. So it's one thing after another. They're going to make you use your cell phone to make purchases. You're not going to have bank accounts anymore. All your money is going to be digitized. You don't have any cash. You'll be able to track all your purchases, your whereabouts, everything. You'll be under complete domination eventually because of this Excelsior Pass. And even the federal government is trying to roll one out. So it's ubiquitous. It's going to destroy our lives as we know it. And the Constitution will be totally ripped to shreds. It's halfway there now. But with this Excelsior Pass or E-Pass or Vax Pass, you're going to have complete control over your lives. So people need to wake up, get in touch with their relatives and their friends and anyone else they know and raise hell about this, because the government, the senators, representatives, even AOC is in line with all this crap. They pretend to be for the people. It's all a hoax. The Democrats and Republicans are a bunch of tyrants. And before long, it's going to happen to us little by little. And before you know it, you'll be in 1984, the book.
Okay. Thank you so much, Leslie, for your call today, for contributing.
You're welcome.
Gino from the Bronx, you're on the air. 888-874-4888. You're on the air.
Good day, Eutrice, and audience.
Hello.
Yeah, I got on pretty quick. I'm happy. I guess I'm waiting for someone to come that we're going to get a sick cat to get fixed up, so she should be coming any moment, so I'm glad I got in. So just to go on to what Duke said, I wasn't planning to call, but Duke said something about Daniel Sheehan, and just to give some further credentials to him, he was the one who read the over 40 volumes on the Pentagon Papers that the Times then printed, showing the conspiracy proven true about Vietnam. He was the one who represented Karen Silkwood, showing that the uranium was disappearing from nuclear plants. And, of course, we know South Africa and Israel got all these nuclear bombs, and you wonder where they got it, and she was showing the stuff was disappearing. And when she went to go meet a reporter, as we know, they drove her off the road. They put radiation in her food before that to try and kill her in the refrigerator. And he won the case, showing the conspiracy being true, that she was killed. So that's just some condenses. And also, as we all know, Gary, being a talker myself, is quite a talker. He's one of the only times he was silenced when Danny was on for 4 days or four shows in a row, that Gary was practically just listening. And that's a rarity.
But what are you talking about today? It's Free Your Mind Friday.
Okay, well I guess
a
well,
point
that was just
of
to add
view
on to,
that you would like to share. And well, we don't want to be all over the place just giving general information. Do
well,
you have a point of view? Share it.
Well, the point is that his information, with Duke being very skeptical as I am, Danny makes some very valid points with his case is proven true. Other than that, I could just say I wish everybody good insights on this Good Friday and Easter, and that selfless pattern laid down by Jesus. For all the loved ones, if he didn't rise, we won't see them. But that pattern, whatever you believe in, of selflessness and loving your neighbor is certainly one to emulate in our troubled times now and in the future. And I just wish you all a good holiday. And those who don't celebrate holidays, I wish you a loving life. And thanks for taking the call, Eutrice.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Ali from New York. There's something in the air. Ali, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Eutrice. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just playing here with my thumbs. Yeah. And I just wanted to say hello to all the listeners, and I hope that they're having a good Friday. And, yes, and I just, I know that this is, I wanted to free my mind about reparation because I heard I heard the other day how you put the three-way conversation about reparation, and I would like to make a comment about that. But before that, I just wanted to say to the gentleman that I called yesterday, we were coming back driver from Provincetown, Cape Cod. And we listened to the last part, and good thing that we listened to him. It was a very good call, and thanks for letting him speak for so long, because it was excellent. I thought he was great, and I hope he calls again. And thanks to Harvey for all that information that he gave us, because I wanted to mention to Harvey the place that we stayed in Provincetown. We saw these things in the parking lot, and we thought there were things to fill out your flat tires, and it was for electric cars. They have about five of these things, and I was really surprised because the only place that I have seen those things, they have been in Europe. So I just wanted to mention that to Harvey. And I want people to go to YouTube, including you, Eutrice, and, mm-hmm. and look on YouTube and look at the swine flu. But the name of the YouTube is They Are Hoping You Forgot. Okay? That's the name of it. All of you should do it. And it's about when they gave the swine flu vaccine back then some years ago when 60 Minutes was a real show, a real investigation. So that's the name of the YouTube title. They Are Hoping You Forgot. Okay, so that's it. But about reparation, I just wanted to mention this about reparation because I know that one of your callers, and I think he's from Jersey, and I believe he called today, and he was your second call. Back then when you were talking about reparation, he was talking about that he would only agree if every person, black person, will get paid. And this is what I have to say. I really don't agree 100% with that statement, but I do agree that some people that they're no longer in the United States, they are entitled to reparation. As you know, about 3 years ago, I went to Nova Scotia, and I went to the area where the people that they left United States, they went to live. And some of them, they are in Halifax. And some of them, they are in a small area in Nova Scotia. And I will tell you this, the condition that these people are living, and these were American, you know, slaves that they left this country. And these people, I believe they do, I believe that 100%, and they call them black loyalists. They should get reparation. Their condition is bad. They live, the majority of them, they live what you call here NYCHA, which are our projects. Right now, they are pushing out of there because, especially in Halifax, and we also went to an area where we saw the condition when these people left United States. They used to live in this little thing called Pitts Hole, and it was just an incredible thing to see. I don't even know how people, they were even to fit in there because I'm short, and I couldn't even stand where these people, they live and the way that they were living when they left United States. These people, they do, to me, they should get reparation from United States because their condition is still up to this day is bad. You see all of them together, and you know that they are not doing well. And they're very, very discriminated there, and they do not have a good life. That's what I have to do. I have to say about reparation. I saw it with my own eyes, and even a small town, you still see black people in there, here and there, all over the place. Not too many, but the majority of them, they live in Halifax. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a little break and come back to your freeing of your mind and perhaps our minds as well, right after this.
It's a little light of mine.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. This is a day where we dispense with our regular program format, and we become a free forum, a freewheeling forum at that, where it is expected that you have a point of view, hopefully a strong one, about something. And this is where you share that, and people will react, we hope, to what it is you have to say. The number to call is 888-874-4888 to express yourselves. And of course, that doesn't mean you go off the deep end. You can go off the deep end if you're making sense, but don't just call to go off the deep end, please. Keep it straightforward and keep it strong. We have so much to talk about, but I am not calling the shots at all today. I'm listening to what it is you have to say. We all are. And we're hoping that this gives you an opportunity also to sharpen your skills, your public speaking skills. You'll be able to tell us what it is that is at the foremost of your mind and what you're thinking. And we'll see whether we agree or whether we don't agree. But it's okay to not agree. You know, you don't have to agree with everything somebody says, but it is time to stretch out and say what you're thinking. 888-874-4888. I don't see anybody on my screen that, you know, I've been dealing with two things at once, and that is, need to brush up real fast on technology. I'm slow at that stuff, but I get it. You know, I can get it. But secondly, it's just like so many things are happening. How do we keep track? And this is one of the other reasons that I think this program is so necessary. We can't possibly know everything that is in play in terms of news and information. So this is a chance that we're together, and so you can share something with us about what is happening in your neck of the woods or just generally and what you're thinking about it. Okay, 888-874-4888, and let's hear some more stuff on Free Your Mind Friday. Let's see who's up next. All right. It's slow. Okay, I don't see anybody. I've been sharing with you my tribulations with this merger, this huge merger, this telecommunications merger. And it's been a while now that I've been on the other end of it. Things are happening. Things are disappearing. Things are out of whack. Just yesterday was the most recent experience. I was prepared to do my program. I always prepare ahead of time. And sometimes it really comes in handy if you're running close to time. You don't have to think about setting up in order to have the show. It's already set up. But I got here, and everything I set up no longer was there. So I was fit to be tied yesterday. But Grandma from Inwood, you're going to tell us what's on your mind. What are you freeing your mind of today?
It's not Grandma, it's Graham. Graham. G-R-A-H-A-M.
G-R-A-H-A-M?
Yes, A-M, yeah. Graham. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You
Graham.
Know how the song goes, "You're gonna love me." Utrice, first time caller.
Well, welcome.
You are a stickler. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You are a stickler for... you can't prove it. You can't prove it, you know, but you can't prove it, you say to a lot of people. Now, I say the same thing to you. A lot of the things that you say, Utrice, you cannot prove. Oh. It's secondhand information. It is stuff that you got from the media. None of it can be really proven.
Well, I would dare say you're off the mark in making that statement.
How's that? How's that?
I've taught myself, and I've taught journalism to others as well, to develop a discipline of making the strongest effort possible to verify what it is you present as fact. It's not enough to just simply say it, say things, and then you walk away and you imply that everything you just said was factual. When you heard me, as you say, just opining, did you get the impression I was just talking off the top of my head?
Not at all. However, most of us get our information from basically the same sources, from media of some sort. But it's generally hearsay. It can generally be lies. But
you see, now you're taking a wide swipe. How do you prove that it is, hearsay? They have
editors. I can neither prove it nor disprove it. I can neither prove it nor disprove it.
But it's not up to you. You're not a journalist.
But
at some point,
okay,
it's like
saying, it's not up to you either. It's not up to you either. Okay, you are a journalist. Okay,
yes.
You taught journalism. But that does not make everything you say accurate. Because you get your information basically from the same sources we do.
No. You would be wrong. That keeps telling you that. You'd be wrong if you say that.
How's that?
I know what goes on in the media. I know how people come to, quote, conclusions, unquote. I know what happens in the nation's newsrooms more often than not. And I don't do that.
Yes. Yes, but Utrice, this is your opinion.
No, it's not my opinion.
This is your opinion.
It's my experience. It's my experience as well. I'm talking to you as someone with more than 40 years experience in this. I'm not just, casually coursing through. I've edited books of journalists. I know these things. So, and it became quite almost like a disease that nobody gave a damn anymore to do good journalism. You talk to anybody who I have edited, you talk to them and ask them what they're required to do when we sit down to edit. When we sit down to edit any work, cancel whatever it is you're doing, because just about every line you write, you have to authenticate your facts.
Generally, the media has vacated that, I would think, today.
No, you're making statements, and they're sweeping statements, but you are not in a position to say that authentically because you haven't seen it.
It's common sense you face, though.
No, we don't do things with common sense. This is where we part ways. When you are a journalist, so committed to journalism, you have to observe certain codes. One is you're not talking on the fly. For every statement you make, show me the facts, the corresponding facts. Show me the figures. Show me your sources. Let me hear the tape. Let me see the video. I'm not easy.
Do you think that most journalists abide by that today?
Yes, I think for the most part, most
really?
Journalists try to do a very good job. And it's not so much the journalists. And don't go there because you're not in a position to chastise anybody in journalism. You just said you have no way of authenticating
what
you just said.
I'm not a journalist.
Uh-huh. You're talking off the top of your head. You haven't yet cited, well, I read
I'm
it in this
the middle of my
magazine
head.
Or that newspaper or watched it on such and such TV. I'm a stickler for that. People would tell you, I require, when we do a line edit, a line by line edit, it's hell. And I don't
What did
up.
You say about TV? I'm sorry, what did you say about TV again, Eutrace?
You know, you're quoting things willy-nilly, and then you're presenting it to us as not only your opinion, which is, you know, it's all right, but you're presenting it to us as fact. You can't have it both ways.
Not I. I'm just speaking in general. I think that's what most people do.
No, you can't say that either.
Journalists today.
Did you take a poll?
Why can't I say it?
Do you have a poll that shows what you just said? That most people do this and most people do that? What gives you the authority to make statements like that?
I don't think I need any authority to make
That's the problem. Because people decide what they think other people in the way of information should have or not have. They're the ones. They're the gatekeepers. They assign themselves as gatekeepers without doing the work, even for yourself.
Eutrace, most of the people on television and radio, they're just news readers. They're reading a script. They're reading what's been given to them by the editor or whomever.
Have you studied the news
and
business?
They cannot.
Yes. Have you studied closely the news business and how it works? Have you interviewed anybody in the newsrooms? Have you done any of that kind of work to come to the conclusion that most people are this and most people are that?
I think that the majority of listeners would probably agree.
That's not the point. We don't care whether the majority of listeners agree or don't agree. The thing is, you said it, you just said it, and you backed away already. I think that so-and-so, who cares what you think? I want to know what formed the basis of your thought.
I don't think
we can talk. When you tell me in such and such
a
survey,
a journalist.
It's so and so. This is frustrating because you're in a position, when you are in a position, and especially when you are in a position to influence people's thinking and opinions, it is not only incumbent upon you, it is imperative that you work as hard as possible to authenticate your facts.
It really should be, but there is a lack of that in media today.
And you're doing it right now. You've been doing it for your entire presentation. You have not presented a single fact, but you insist it's your opinion.
Well, just because you say it, Eutrace, doesn't mean it's a fact either.
Okay. Let's say you don't believe anything I say. And I think that's a good attitude.
Okay.
But when you ask me any question about those things that I say, I can answer you in detail. I can cite sources to you. I can send you to my sources.
So you say?
So I'm saying I'm not talking off the top of my head. Not when I'm in the position of sharing facts and factual information. That is very serious business.
If that being the case, You are a rare, rare jewel. Be that the case, you are rare. Weapons of mass destruction and things of that nature, lies. So many other things in the media, lies.
A case out in Minneapolis. How could you call yourself a medical examiner and be so vague about the cause of death and nobody questions it? And just as I said, you open the door for all kinds of conjecturing to go on. Did George Floyd kill himself with drugs, or did he have a bad heart? Or no, it's very clear. He was killed by a police officer kneeling on his neck. We saw it, but the medical examiner decides to be vague about it. That's the problem that we have. When we don't get the quality of service, let's put it that way, his service, whether this case comes to trial or not, should be to specifically state the facts. It is not something to be debated. Science doesn't work like that. You either know how a person...
I agree with that. I can agree with that. Have to agree with that.
A given lay people who don't know much about the subject. And that robs us of a great opportunity for people to learn. But thanks so much. Thanks a lot, Graham, for your call. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Thank you, Trace.
Thank you. Allison from New Jersey, you're on the air. Allison? Okay.
Hello? Hello?
So, okay, you almost missed it.
Okay, well, I'm glad I made it in. You know, for a few minutes, I thought you were actually getting hot under the collar, and then I realized what I think you were doing by engaging that last caller. I think I got the impression that you were indignant a bit about the notion of the press not doing the right job. And unfortunately, right now, that's the case. The press does not do the right job. They really, a lot of times, base so-called reporting on their opinion, what they, you know, how they interpret things instead of straightforward reporting on the facts. And like with the George Floyd trial, I forget whoever said the thing, but it's like, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? We saw the man get murdered, get killed in living color. And yet they want to say, oh, well, it was because of this, or there was that factor or some other thing. When the bottom line is, the man was murdered in cold blood.
Well, here's the thing to appreciate. This is occurring, all of these discussions are now occurring in a court of law. So all normal attitudes have to be dispensed with. What is the law? Let's talk the law and the application of the law.
But what we saw was not an attitude. It was what you saw with your own eyes. And
yes, but you don't know what was going on inside this man.
Pardon?
You just thought of what you saw, and that is visceral. That is not science. The person who knows what went on inside was the guy who was as vague as I have ever seen in years.
Something
that's a medical
was vague
examiner.
About how George Floyd was killed? Something was vague about that? I'm sorry, I'm trying to understand.
Yes, it was vague. I brought it to the attention. I discussed it. In fact, on the very first day, I referred to the vagueness of the medical examiner's report, which gave rise to questions about whether George Floyd is responsible for his own death or whether he was in fact murdered.
Okay, I'm going to have to go along with that because that's the fact of the way the case is progressing. But there was one factor in all of the things that happened last week that stood out to me, and it was when the defense attorney was trying to make George Floyd's potential anger a factor in the whole consideration. And I stopped in my tracks when I heard that questioning, that line of questioning, did he appear to be angry? Because that is something that was done to me years ago when I was employed by a large university. And I was going through a grievance, and something had, you know, obviously transpired. And the university's attorney kept harping on, well, were you angry when so-and-so said this? Well, did that make you angry? And I would say something like, I was frustrated, I was stressed, I didn't understand, I was righteously indignant. Oh, no, but were you angry? Were you angry? So I took the bait, and I finally said, no, I wasn't angry or just angry. I was a mixture of things. Sure enough, arbitrator comes back and says, eh, you were disingenuous. So you can't win when they go to that argument. Angry black mob.
The problem is you had a lousy lawyer.
Now that I look back, yes.
Okay. Nobody should be able to put you in a situation like that as a person represented allegedly by a lawyer in a grievance procedure. And they're talking about your anger. It's anybody could surmise where they're going with that. You had a lousy lawyer.
Well, and again, that's what I'm saying, though. That's a fallback for whenever black or people of color want justice, we're accused of becoming an angry mob. You know, we used to joke about it back in college. Angry mobs riot. Oh, that means it's black people.
Well, yes, we understand that. But I am saying you shut it down. And there's the possibility, there's the capability, there are the resources to shut it down. Why isn't it shut down? Why would you let this case go on when the medical examiner, upon whose judgment most of this case rests, is allowed to be so vague? And nobody asks questions in court.
It's the same tactic that's used over and over and over.
This is why it has to be challenged in the court.
They keep repeating over and over, and that's how they win, right, wrong, good, or bad. That's how they do it. They just keep repeating it. Like
that's how they do it. But you're a savvy person.
Sometimes I think I am, and there's certainly some other times where I'm like, where was I?
So you're like everybody else, like most of us.
Human. Big time.
You see where things are going. And you are the person that they're gunning for. And you don't grab your lawyer in a corner someplace and say, listen here, you're screwing things up for me. And here's what we're going to do. It's your life that's on the line, not his or hers. And if you can tell, you think the judge can't tell? You think the jurors can't tell? Come on now. We got to get brave after a while, and we have to insist that we demand our right to protect ourselves, even in a court of law, because that's especially dangerous.
Where were you? I see you're in a mood to teach today more than ever, and I appreciate it.
but is anybody it true or not? Does it ring true or not? You had a lousy lawyer, and you're saying, yeah, well, I can see that.
Okay.
It means that you were not well-educated, and I'm not at all denigrating you. You're like every most everybody else. We put ourselves, our future, our everything in people's hands who have no clue how to protect it. Even though they would tell you, well, I'm a lawyer, I'm a this, I'm a doctor, blah, blah. You know, I just had a showdown with a doctor today. A doctor who was operating on the premise that he's a doctor, I'm not, he knows things and I don't. I had to read him a riot act. And then finally he got the message. But I had to get on like a hooligan to let him know I will not be keeping any appointments with him any further. No, you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, it's a good and logical argument you're making, but when you're in that process and they're grinding you down day by day, it's not always easy to maintain that objective and cool outlook.
I understand you, and I agree
on that. Wearing you down.
My sympathy is with you all the way, because that's where most of us find ourselves. We're victimized by the system, and then victimized by ill-prepared, unqualified, so-called professional help.
Mm.
And you have to fight for yourself.
True that.
Okay. A pleasure talking to you today. But really, I agree with you. I understand you perfectly. But you had a lousy lawyer. And I still understand, and you still have my sympathy because of the predicament you were in. All right, that brings us to the end of our program today. I thank you so much. Now, that was really Free Your Mind. See, that's what Free Your Mind Friday is about. Getting things out of your system. So have yourselves a good weekend. Surround yourselves with people who love you and want to support you and nurture you as you do to them. And then on Monday, we pick up again and fight some more. Bye. This little light, this little